Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 6 minutes after 12 midday, the Man in Line in session through till 1 as at 4 o'clock. Yesterday afternoon there have been 24,359 tests on the island, 24,358 of which were concluded. One person waiting a result yesterday afternoon and 127 people waiting tests. Now there were 8 new cases of coronavirus identified yesterday. That makes 36 active cases, 12 of which were detected during day 1, 7 or 13 of self-isolation. And there's one person in hospital at the moment. Yesterday there were 390 vaccinations took place yesterday, the 13th of January. 384 on Tuesday, 391 on Monday, which means 1,165 vaccinations have taken place this week, totaled with 1,041 from last week. That's the best part of 2,200 of the Pfizer vaccine. And of course, the Oxford AstraZeneca should roll out next week as well. That's the situation regarding that. And any thoughts you have on the matter, text, email or call. Those 8 cases of coronavirus reported on the Isle of Man yesterday, bringing the total number to 36, 4 of them relating to an existing case, 3 linked to travel from off-island. And the origin of one case, well, nobody knows at the moment. Here's a roundup of what happened at the media conference yesterday.
In the second of what are now to be thrice weekly events, the Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, hosted the briefing and was joined as ever by the Director of Public Health, Dr. Henrietta Ewart, and Health Minister, David Ashford. And Mr. Ashford had an important message for people shielding.
Last week, we advised those that had previously shielded during the last lockdown to shield for 7 days and then it would be reviewed. The advice has been clinically reviewed and fresh public advice has been issued that those individuals should now continue to shield for the period of the lockdown. Fresh letters are being prepared and will be dispatched shortly for those under the care of the hospital. Some may already be in receipt of a letter if their consultant has written to them individually. For those under the care of primary care GPs, they will be advised directly by their primary care provider. As a reminder, all those who received a letter during the last lockdown should continue to shield.
Meanwhile, Public Health Director Dr. Ewart says the reduction in the number of close contacts around new cases shows the lockdown is working.
So whereas the cases that were identified around the Christmas and New Year period, not surprisingly, had large numbers of high-risk contacts and also a lot of low-risk associated venues because people had been out and about, and because it was Christmas and New Year, they'd been out and about more than they normally would be. Now that we have the effect of the lockdown, when we are identifying new cases, even the on-island ones, they have far fewer high-risk contacts. So this is all good news, and hopefully it's showing that we are beginning to get on top of things. So obviously we'll report further when we have the results of that contact tracing.
The conversation soon turned to questions over the strain of coronavirus circulating. Howard Quayle says whilst information is being collected, we must err on the side of caution.
While we are still awaiting for confirmation that the new variant is what we are seeing in the community, we need to act and behave that it is the new variant. This is the right thing to do. As I've said before, I can assure you that we make the decisions based on the best advice and the best information available to us at the time. When we get new information, we review and react, and we will continue to do so. While government clearly has a role to play, so do you. You have done so well so far. The Chief Constable has reported that apart from a couple of cases that you will have seen reported in the media, respect for the current measures is high.
When it came to questions from the media, Mr. Ashford was pressed on what the uptake has been like for returning residents to pay for a day one test.
My understanding is it is a very high uptake as a percentage. I believe it's over 90% is my understanding of people who are choosing to go down the testing route. The alternative, of course, if they don't, who are coming in, it's 21 days self-isolation, but I believe it is 90% plus.
And for those who choose not to take the test, what's the likelihood of one of these people being positive after 21 days?
My understanding is that is absolutely minuscule. Certainly from the studies I've looked at, I haven't seen anything of anyone past 21 days actually shedding what would be contagious virus. There is cases I've seen around the world of people shedding for very, very long periods of time, but it hasn't turned out to be contagious virus.
The risk is extremely low, but it's not zero.
Is it a risk worth taking then?
Yeah, I'm just on the back of that. It is. You otherwise, Alex, you could go on forever. You could say, well, if you don't take a test, you're quarantining them 30 days, 35 days, 40 days, 50 days. You would go on forever. The risk is so low after 21 days that it is a risk worth taking. We've previously carried the 14-day risk of 1%. I think we've got to recognise this is a virus, and viruses interact differently with everyone. You are never going to get to a scenario that boxes off every single person, because we as human beings, every single one of us is unique.
And if you're waking up this morning hoping to pop to the garden centre or a hardware store, think again, as Mr. Quayle reiterated.
Garden centres will have to close. Hardware and building suppliers will only be open to trade customers. It is probably worth me making quite clear that despite a flurry of excitement on social media, there has been no change to our border position. On the 5th of January, I announced that we had moved to level 5B of our borders framework. Nothing has changed on that.
And you can find out more about the latest coronavirus briefing at manxradio.com. You can re-watch the conference at Manx Radio's Facebook page. And you can also take a look at the minute-by-minute blog on the Manx Radio news page.
Chewin dropped a note in just to say the arrogant, selfish minority who keep flouting the rules to fight the virus should be rounded up, put on the calf of men and left to wander in groups if they want to. If they want to wander in groups, do it there. John, a note in, just said, I don't see the need for a mask unless you're near other people. Mandatory mask is a bit OTT in my view. Apart from students, people who came back to the Isle of Man and spread the COVID around the Isle of Man should have to forfeit their salaries. They're lucky enough to have one. Nice. Well, best of luck trying to get that one through, John. Howard keeps saying it's in our hands, says James. Well, it's in their hands, Isle of Man government, with the stop with the we strongly recommend or where possible or 21 days if you don't want to test. Make rules, governors, as you're being paid to do. Ask Ireland. They did the same. Ask people to strongly recommend and do what you want. And now they're in crisis. James wants rules. I think making masks mandatory, says this correspondent, is ridiculous. I agree. If you're going near other people, one should cover the mouth, but not necessary otherwise. It depends, of course, where you are, doesn't it? Some people can't judge distance. Just wonder how close people have to be if you want to put a mask on as well. Anyway, just a quick note in. I work in a hub school. Do I need to get an injection for COVID because I'm a key worker? We look after special needs children and clean after when they leave the building, says CJ. A quick note if you're in Foxdale as well. If residents of Springfield Terrace ask very politely, when you're driving through the water in Springfield Terrace in Foxdale, please drive slowly. Some people think it's okay, says Sarah, to drive through at normal speed, just showering water and stones all over our properties. We have cars and we have gardens, so please drive carefully. Les just said, don't you think taxi drivers should be prioritised as well for vaccine jab, as they're the ones risking themselves but still do a crucial job in the testing of customers, says Les. And Gaz, if the Isle of Man will receive 0.13% of the UK vaccine supply, which has been ordered by the UK on the basis of the one-dose strategy, we're going to hit an upcoming supply problem with our two-dose strategy soon. Following the media briefing yesterday, I do hope figures are made clear about the age range of our most recent COVID positive cases. I think then that the people who criticised the students will find it's most definitely not returning students who were responsible for the recent cases. I go as far as to say some people will get a shock, says Pam. Thanks for that note, Pam, as well. And somebody just said, I drove down the Peel Road in Douglas recently. Massive queue of cars on the road trying to get into McDonald's. Surely this isn't essential travel. Well, they're only doing takeaway, and takeaway is legal. Takeaway is legitimate. As you say, it's whether or not it's essential travel, of course, is... well, there have been two banks closed recently, Peel and Castletown. Could these be reopened as vaccination centres? The speed at which we're vaccinating needs to be massively speeded up. If we need to wait for 14 days clear of the virus, we could be locked down for the rest of this year. Okay, so text email. Oh, simplify masks. Making them compulsory makes sense. Make the doubters aware. A frustrated key worker, says that correspondent as well. Just think, something I want to get to as well, and we haven't had it confirmed, but this year is Key's general election year. 2021 is election year, and you're being urged to take action to ensure that you're eligible to vote in this year's local and national elections. Now, forms will shortly be delivered to your household as part of the 2021 update of the electoral register. The annual canvas helps capture information required to maintain an accurate record of people who are eligible to vote in an election. Forms will be posted to all households currently on the electoral register and to the occupier at properties with no registered electors. Deadline for responses, 18th of March. So you have some time in hand for this. This year's update is particularly important as 2021 is the election year. Local authority elections scheduled to take place on the 22nd of April and Keys scheduled for Thursday the 23rd of September. And of course, only those who appear on the electoral register will be entitled to vote. It is a legal requirement to respond to the annual canvass, even if you choose not to vote. Not being registered can also affect, of course, your credit reference history and potentially result in an application for a mortgage, loan or mobile phone contract being refused. It's quick, easy, and it's free of charge as well. So just, you will be getting those annual canvass letters for the electoral register, and you have to respond by the 18th of March. Good afternoon, Sue. How are we doing?
Oh, fine, thank you.
What's on your mind?
It's just about unemployment. Payments out or non-payments out. I didn't get any grant payments last time there was a lockdown, and I haven't got any this time. I've been self-employed for a couple of years. Before that, I've worked all my life and paid tax and NI. And I was told last time that I didn't earn enough. Well, I don't do many hours, but they said to go on Job Seekers. But when I got in touch with them, they said, no, that's not who we should be in touch with. So, and then I got told I didn't earn enough to warrant getting any money at all.
Okay, so you'd worked PAYE for a long time. You've been self-employed for how long?
A couple of years.
Okay, and... So you've basically fallen through the cracks here, haven't you?
Oh, yes, big cracks. I mean, I am fortunate that I've got a partner. You know, so what I used to earn only paid the odd bills of mine. So it's not that there's people in far worse position than me, I'm sure.
So just to reiterate, you were told you didn't qualify for... Which one did you go for, MIRA or which one?
Yes.
So MIRA. you went for MIRA, and they said you didn't qualify because why?
I didn't earn enough money.
Okay, and they said go for Job Seekers, and Job Seekers said what?
No, it's not the right people. You don't want to be going for a job where you're in contact with people, which I thought was correct, because I'm a self-employed cleaner going to people's houses, which at the time of COVID isn't not... a good idea, because most of my clients at the time and still are elderly over 80.
So. I thought anybody could apply for job seekers allowance.
No, no.
Did they give you any? Did they give you any advice as to anything that you could claim for?
No, none at all.
At all?
No, no.
How do you feel about it, Sue?
Not very happy because it's happening again. But like I say, there is people that are a lot worse off than me. You know, I haven't got a mortgage or, you know, anything like that. But it's not very good.
But however, you have you have contributed to National Insurance over the years and you paid tax.
Yes, correct. I started work when I was 15. And I'm now 64, so I think I've paid a few bob in on that.
It sounds unfair to me, Sue.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Very much so. But you don't seem to get anywhere. You get passed from pillar to post with nothing at the end of it all.
Interesting. Sue, we'll try and pursue that. I know. Thanks for calling us today, Sue.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. 22 minutes past 12. I know our news editor Tim Glover is looking at the plight of the self-employed. If you're on Facebook last night, Tim was chatting to lots of people about what is available to self-employed people. And some messages came through yesterday, including one that just said, can you ask what the self-employed people are supposed to do for money until they get MIRA? Can you ask if we could have food vouchers for our children who are now at home like all the others that are normally on social benefit? We phoned and we asked. We were told no, we just have to make do. It seems unfair. We can't have them to feed our children. We're down to £200 a week in money. We're supposed to be all in this together, but it's clear the self-employed and their children don't matter. Self-employed people make up quite a big proportion of the working population on the Isle of Man and do many essential jobs as well. A note in also just said why they set MIRA at £200 a week or £5 an hour for a 40-hour week when that's not even the minimum or living wage. Self-employed have to pay tax a year in advance but get nothing back in return when help is needed. They say we can claim job seekers allowance, says this self-employed person, but it's £80 a week. I feel it's galling when MHK say we're all in this together when they're on full pay and others struggle to pay bills and provide for our family. And I don't know, is that moratorium on eviction still in place? Of course, it was in place last summer, but I just wonder whether that's still in place. Another one just said, how the basic rate of MIRA is expected to cover bills of both home and premises for the self-employed. It barely covers a low-price rent or mortgage, as well as paying rent on any premises in order for a business to still exist post-lockdown. If lockdown's extended, it'll put further strain on a lot of the current businesses that are self-employed and unable to work. Ruth's with us now. Hello, Ruth.
Hello. What I'm phoning about, because I was a bit confused last year, I turned 70 in September, so I was underage for shielding and all that. But I've got diabetes, I've had two strokes, and I've got other illnesses. And nobody got in touch with me, but my husband, who was 72, got two letters.
Oh, Ruth, I'm sorry, you've disappeared. Try and call us back if you can. We'll get hold of Ruth. Of course, anything like that, of course, you need to call 686-262, 686-262, the non-medical COVID helpline, if you can, for information on that. And again, we're just getting, this is just straws in the wind, really, of people falling through the cracks with the self-employed not being able to get any financial help. And if you have an existing condition, if you're supposed to be shielding and you've not been told that you should, then how do you know if you're supposed to be? What effect has there been on attendance and the attitude at the island's hub school since a child tested positive for coronavirus last weekend? The pupil attended St Mary's Primary School on 2 days last week before the virus was detected. Since then, the Manx government's reissued advice and ramped up certain measures. Alex Watton spoke to the Education Minister, Dr. Allinson, about student numbers in hub schools.
We had around about 2-3% of secondary school children attending and around about 8-9% of primary school attending. That does vary from day to day because obviously we're dealing with people such as police officers, nurses, doctors who may be working one day but not the other, who may have partners at home who can look after their children. So the advice has always been only send your children to the hub school if absolutely necessary. But we've seen a slight decrease this week, probably because people are more adaptable to the lockdown. But we've also been trying to emphasise that those schools are safe, both for the staff and the students, and that anyone who really needs them to provide that essential role for our frontline services should make use of them.
Now, there may understandably be some concerns from people about going into schools now, as of course being in close proximity. What further measures, if any, have you actually brought in terms of the physical setup of classrooms?
We've done an awful lot of work in terms of working with teachers to provide risk assessments, to walk around schools and see how best they can be organised, both for the safety of obviously the pupil, but also our staff. We've got some fantastic catering staff, for instance, cleaning staff, who have worked above and beyond to make schools as safe as possible. And also, obviously, our teaching staff, some of who are elderly, we need to look after their safety. So in response to the events this weekend at St. Mary's, what we've done is review a lot of those policies. For instance, although a hub school may have children from 2 or 3 schools attending, each of them are kept in an individual bubble so they don't mix. We've also been looking at the cleaning rotors there. We've also been looking to make sure that they are as safe as possible, and we employ social distancing wherever possible. In secondary schools, we've re-looked at the use of, for instance, face coverings and masks in areas where you can't achieve social distancing and given clear advice based on the protocols from the Public Health Department to really try and ramp up that safety aspect and make sure that those people who need to use educational facilities feel as safe as possible.
Have you had quite a serious job of reassuring people in these last few days?
I think there is work to be done there, but that reassurance has to be to our whole community. Education and our schools are part of that community, and in the same ways we need to bolster the safety within schools, we need to do that right across if we're to get on top of this recent increase in cases on our island.
Dr. Allinson talking about the hub schools. Patty dropped me a note just to say, is there a number for the canvas for the election office? Yes, if you want more information about the electoral registration process, who's eligible to vote, and of course you may have 16-year-olds in your house or people who are 15 who may be 16 by the time voting takes place, you can call 685754. That's the electoral registry office, 685754, if you want more information. Or the email's elections@gov.im. That's 685754, elections@gov.im. Charlie's with us. Hello, Charlie.
Did you put a number out, 682682, for non-emergency COVID number?
Is it, let's have a look, it's the 686262.
686, okay.
Yes.
That's all right, then. I missed out.
686262 it is, yeah.
Right, thank you.
Okay, 686262, the number, that's the non-medical helpline for COVID. Of course, the medical helpline is 111. So 111 medical, 686262 is the number. And also, somebody's asked, what's that location that's been identified recently? They were talking yesterday about, it was a week ago today. So lunchtime a week ago, 20 to 2 till 2 o'clock, Marks and Spencer in Drumgold Street. So 1:40 till 2 p.m., Thursday the 7th, a week ago. They stress that the risk is low, but if anyone's visited or has worked in that location during the time period, if you go on to develop symptoms, you're encouraged to self-isolate and contact 111 straight away. The service is open 8 till 8, and if you've been at the venue but have no symptoms, of course, you're not being asked to call 111. So it's 1:40 till 2 o'clock a week ago, Marks and Spencer in Drumgold Street, Douglas. Man in Line's in session till 1. Text... ...166177. Email studio@manxradio.com. Call 661368. A mountain of correspondence from self-employed people just talking about how they think it's unfair that self-employed people have put money into the system and have difficulty getting it out. We should put the vaccine in McDonald's, says Pete. Thank you. Gary in Onchan just received ours through the post today. The electoral registering. Do you think it's right that, let's see, there's no grant, that, do you think it's right that there's no grant this time, only MIRA at the moment? Well, that's government regulation at the moment. There is no grant, just MIRA. A note in that also said, why doesn't the government bring the MGP and Classic TT decision forward to let riders know what's happening? It's obvious they're not going to be running it. And also the Southern Hundred should be cancelled as well till next year, says Dave. Dave's version on that, well, I'm sure the Southern want it all to go ahead. And, of course, if we are out of lockdown, the Southern can be run on the Isle of Man. Now, presumably there'll be enough riders to do something with the Southern Hundred as well. If anybody from the Southern, if Phil Edge is around, he ought to tell us when the Southern... decision's going to be, and the Classic and MGP for the later on this year. Well, I think we file this under what Loganair have done. They've issued a very bullish spring and summer schedule and timetable for that. I suppose, Dave, you just have to plan, hope for the best, and, you know, deal with the worst if it happens to arrive.
Songs to wash your hands to.
Gov guidelines say you must wash your hands for 20 seconds to fight off coronavirus. If you need help timing, that's... Just like that, all together. Stay safe from all of us at Manx Radio. Brought to you by the team at Spectrum Windows. Spectrum Windows, brightening island homes with windows, doors and conservatories for over 25 years.
Do you run a small business? Are you unsure who to turn to for help? From lockdown support to business planning, the accountants at Nicola Bowker & Co. are here for you. Find us at nicolabowker.co.uk and get in touch.
Don't miss this amazing new boiler offer from Manx Gas. Replace your old boiler with a brand new boiler with smartphone control that keeps you in control of your home heating wherever you are, all for just £30 per month with 5 years interest-free credit. For comfort and smartphone control, get a brand new boiler now from Manx Gas. Call 644444 for details or visit manxgas.com. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 2021 and we are back. Yes, Radio Caroline North is back this weekend with a great selection of music from the 60s to the early 90s. Our sponsors this time are Feature Story News, and there's a chance to win some virtual money to spend in the Caroline webshop with our competition. Join us from 6 a.m. Saturday till 9 p.m. Sunday evening right here on Caroline North.
Live on Manx Radio and Radio Caroline, 1368 a.m.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
25 to 1. Hello, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Just had a phone call from British Telecom to say there's been some illegal activity on my phone line and they disconnect the phone line and Wi-Fi, and I was to speak to their executive by pressing button 1, which I totally ignored. So,
oh, the right thing to do, Chris. You know what that would have done? Button 1, don't you?
Yeah, the bill would have gone sky high.
Charge you about £75. Chris, you did the right thing. Well spotted.
Yeah, British Telecom, so that gives the game away, doesn't it?
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling us, Chris.
Cheers. Bye.
All right. Well spotted. And we've got Malcolm. Hello, Malcolm.
Hello. I'd like to ask a question, if I may. What I'd like to ask is, once they start rolling out the Oxford jabs next week, we were told, on Monday, which don't have to be stored at such low temperatures as the Pfizer jab, are they not able then to use regional hubs such as Ramsey Cottage Hospital? I live in Ramsey myself, and to get to Nobles is quite a trek for people. especially if they're not on a bus route.
Well, Mr. Ashford, I think when this was asked a couple of weeks ago, he intimated they were going to use, and I think they've planned for a regional rollout, and Ramsey Cottage Hospital would seem the perfect place.
Well, they then, in my view, should say that this is a definite plan and give some idea of the dates when they might be able to start using them, just so that people have an idea.
OK. And you live in the north. Just tell us, what is the problem of you heading to Nobles?
Well, myself personally, I can drive there, or my wife can drive me. But I know people who also live in Ramsey and a couple in Andreas, and for an Andreas person, if they don't drive, they have to get at least two buses and travel on public transport, which is what probably you don't really want to do anyway. And a good friend of mine who does live in Ramsey can get a bus that goes directly to the hospital, but people who are elderly, more elderly than I am certainly, find it a bit daunting to have to travel so far. And if this jab can be given safely without having to be stored in a hospital environment, but then I think it should be done in regional hubs. And in Ramsey, anyway, there is a hospital.
OK, well, let's hope that, as I say, I do remember Mr. Ashford saying that. Let's hope that is the plan, as you say, with the Oxford vaccine being a lot more portable, as it were.
Yeah, and I would hope that one of these journalists who often ask some repetitive questions could ask a question such as the one I've just asked, which would be really of interest to people who don't live in the Douglas area.
OK. All right, Malcolm, thanks for calling us today.
All right. Thank you.
Good news, by the way, about a new business support scheme that's literally just been announced. Well, I say literally, in the past 15 minutes. The circuit breaker, it's called the CBSS support. Following an assessment of the economic impact of the circuit break lockdown by the Economic Recovery Group, it's been determined that something called the Coronavirus Business Support Scheme, the CBSS, will be reopened to a broad range of sectors and provide a fixed payment of £1,500 for eligible applicants. Now, this is hot off the press. The scheme is open to qualifying businesses and self-employed people who can evidence that they have eligible ongoing business overheads of at least £500 a month. Now, this runs alongside the existing MIRA and salary support scheme that had recently been extended by the government, by the Treasury. The Coronavirus Business Support Scheme opens later today and will remain open for applications till the 31st of January. Now, if you got support during previous rounds of the CBSS, you will be fast-tracked. New applicants or those who previously failed eligibility checks will be subject to full checks in respect of tax and VAT status as per previous rounds. Now, if you want more information on all the financial support schemes that are available and how to apply, you go to IOMDF Enterprise. So it's Isle of Man, IOMDFEnterprise.im, and you'll be led on from there. So the Circuit Break Coronavirus Business Support Scheme will provide eligible businesses and self-employed people with a fixed payment of £1,500. Applications open 3 o'clock today and close 5 o'clock on January the 31st. Both government-backed schemes have been extended now for applications to March 31st. We're talking about the Working Capital Loan Agreement provided through Conister and Santander International, supporting credit facilities of up to £250,000. Applications for credit facilities should be made through participating banks as well. And the Disruption Loan Guarantee Agreement is available through Conister Bank, Lloyds, Barclays, HSBC and RBS International and Santander as well, supporting credit facilities of up to £500,000. Okay, so the Disruption Loan Guarantee, up to £500,000. The Working Capital Loan Agreement, up to £250,000. So all the information is at iomdfenterprise.im. But that's opening. The new CBSS Coronavirus Business Support Scheme opens 3 o'clock this afternoon if you want more information. So I do hope that will provide some relief for self-employed people, because there was an awful lot of grief going around last night on Facebook as well. Anne dropped me a note in, just says, what's the news on the new variant? Supposedly this information from Liverpool was due last week. Surely it's vital we know about the levels of risk in the community. It was neatly sidestepped yesterday about our strategy for dealing with arrivals. Dr. Ewart only addressed returning residents. So in the case of key workers, do key workers need a negative test before they get on the boat? Do we test them on arrival? I think we should be watertight on strategy for returnees with 1, 7 and 13-day testing. But key workers, well, that's another story. And Yvonne's question is, do we have any contacts for organisations collecting and distributing computers, iPads and iPhones to distribute to children who are struggling with schoolwork, so the digitally disadvantaged? Yvonne, we've not heard of that. As I don't know whether the government is doing it or whether there are any voluntary organisations, but if anybody's involved with an organisation which collects and distributes computers, iPads and iPhones to distribute to children who are struggling with schoolwork. Andy, as a key worker, I work in a supermarket and I'm quite happy to wear my mask while I work and in areas when there's a lot of people. But if I'm out walking the dog and I'm in an open space, I'm not wearing a mask. The age breakdown, says Gaz, is available on the government webpage. If you go to under open data, it shows that since the 23rd of December, there have been 6 cases of COVID under 20 and 21 cases in the age ranges that could, at a push, be parents of students. So that's in open data. The new requirement for hardware stores seems to be a little bit muddy, even according to Mr. Quayle, has given differing interpretations a couple of times. Originally, he said hardware stores were to be closed except for tradespeople, but click and collect for others. And at yesterday's conference, he said they're only available to tradespeople. Could we clarify that? We're trying to at the moment, whether hardware stores are available for click and collect for everybody, or just click and collect for tradespeople, or are they just open for tradespeople? We'll find out, and that'll be on the news later today. There are public schools in 4 of the large towns with plenty of parking. Why not use them for COVID injections, as well as Newlands, when the jab becomes available, says Tommy. And Andy, I agree with your last caller, as the same's happening to me also. Paying the employed workers £200 a week, let the self-employed get £200 a week, is a joke on the part of the government, says Jeff. I'm self-employed, says John, and the DfE pay me personally £100 a week as a living allowance. Because of this money, I've been told I don't qualify for any other support. Now, I pay my Class 2 NI like everybody else, and £100 a week simply isn't enough to live off, says that. And I can't work my normal 40-hour self-employed job because I have a little 4-hour-a-week key worker job as well. I don't qualify for support because I'm earning just over £50 a week, says Matty. We've obviously hit a nerve with support for self-employed people.
The circuit breaker lockdown requires changes to how you shop. Try to limit the number of trips you make and shop alone wherever possible. Use contactless payment where you can. Maintain social distancing of at least 2 metres from other customers and staff who are doing an essential job for our community. You may also need to queue outside shops to avoid overcrowding. Face coverings are strongly advised. Stay safe, be responsible, and whenever you can, stay at home. Call the UPVC window specialists, Phoenix Windows, for quality windows, doors and conservatories, along with fascias, soffits, barge boards, guttering and all building work undertaken. With free estimates, free surveys, guaranteed work and all island coverage. Phoenix Windows don't use standard off-the-shelf frames. Their windows are made to measure, which means you get a perfect fit, less bulky frames and more glazing. Call 816628 or visit phoenixwindows-iom.com.
Run a small business or just need more room in the back of your transport? Then visit Philshaw Vehicles in Tramode. Whether you're moving tools, boxes, sports equipment, pizzas or even dogs, Philshaw has the perfect light van for all your needs. Specialising in vans for over 20 years, Philshaw always has a great range of used light commercials in stock, with finance available. Call into Filshaw Vehicles on the Tremode Estate. Call 49 51 49 or see the range at filshawvehicles.im.
This is a tough time for the island's businesses, but Manx Radio is here to help. Right now, we're offering special rates to let you get your message across to potentially over 49,000 listeners even more cost-effectively. Whatever your business, whatever its size, call our sales team now on 682 600 or email sales@manxradio.com to find out more and get the power of Manx Radio working for your business.
Manx Radio Breakfast.
And as we start to make our way through week two of the island circuit break lockdown, we'll be back in the morning from 7.30 with all the main developments.
Now that we have the effect of the lockdown, when we are identifying new cases, even the on-island ones, they have far fewer high-risk contacts.
We've done an awful lot of work in terms of working with teachers to provide risk assessments.
We've really got to wait till next year and hope by then we're back at full strength and make it the best guild ever.
So join us tomorrow for Manx Radio Breakfast, powered by Manx Telecom.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, thanks for joining me. It's 13 minutes before one. No media briefing today, it's on tomorrow. It's now Monday, Wednesday and Friday, unless there's anything urgent coming about. In the Chief Minister's statement on the 11th of January, let's get to the hardware and building suppliers. The 11th of January statement said, "We will also require all hardware and building suppliers to close to the general public. They can remain open for trade customers and can continue to offer click and collect to others." Oh, I see. So hardware and building suppliers close to the general public, so the trade can pitch up, but click and collect to others. Is that clear now? Is it clear? Currently liaising with a couple of organisations on this and waiting for the DESC to give numbers of children who may need devices. Thank you, Katerina. Once we have the numbers, we'll work to get iPads, laptops to them. We've already been in touch with the Manx Solidarity Fund, and once we know the numbers, we'll go to the public for potential donations. So if you are the digitally disadvantaged note as well. Thanks, Katerina. Keep us informed of that and come on air and tell us all about it if you want. I was wondering whether any decision to be made to the opening of the amenity site, says Danny. I think the tips are still closed. Hopefully when we come out of this, we're on day 8 of 21 of lockdown 2. It's due to end at midnight or 23:59 Wednesday, 27th of January. We hope, anyway. But as with the last lockdown, of course, it came in dribs and drabs, didn't it? Certain things opened before other things. I just got my electoral registration form with free post envelope. The envelope is one you have to lick. Is that a down? I understand some people's eagerness to have any forms of road racing on the island, whether we're an island in lockdown or not. You have to also take into consideration the medical services available and the hospital capacity, says Joe. These particular forms of sport place huge burdens on nobles and staff involved. Let's just knuckle down and deal with the issues and situations we're in now. Forms of road racing can restart again when it's safe to do so. Patience will pay off in the long term. They've always been very concerned about that, haven't they? What's the phrase that Mr. Ashford always used? Vacant bed capacity or vacant ICU capacity. People are so ungrateful, says Doug as well. If you can't be bothered to get on a bus, do without the jab, says Doug as well. The Southern Hundred will make its decision on holding racing on 2021 based on the MGP Classic TT government announcement estimated to be done, we reckon, in March and April. Coming as till then, the Southern Hundred committee is working to hold racing in July. Thank you to the Southern Hundred social media team for telling me that. So Southern Hundred's due in July, and it's March, April that we'll know whether or not it's going to happen. The self-employed need to stop moaning. They chose to be self-employed and to save paying the full NI contributions and put what most of the earn in their pockets. Can't expect the rest of us to pay the full NNI and bail them out, says Joe. We're not trying to separate the self-employed from everybody else, are we? Good luck to Charles raising money for the Southern Befrienders playing card games at home. He got £800 so far. Well done from the people in the south. All the best to you as well. Get the director or chief exec from the DOI and ask them why all their staff are still allowed to work while everybody in construction and self-employed have to live on £200 a week. Well, the rule is national infrastructure can continue. I suppose it's essential work, emergency work, and national infrastructure work can continue. Now, what you deem as national infrastructure, I suppose the PROM's national infrastructure, isn't it? News release just uploaded confirming that coronavirus business support scheme as well. So you can see all that. Go to manxradio.com. I'd just like to say the lady is telling my own story. I was self-employed for 10 years. Like her, I had a cleaning business, irregular hours per week, had to be hours per week, not monthly. I always worked from being 15 years of age. I've always paid my dues up to date. I went down the same road as that lady. I'm 63 now. The bottom line is my husband can afford to keep me, but I've never felt so angry. I'm independent and I'm proud. I'm not ashamed of working self-employed. I'm lucky as I've managed to find work again, definitely a loophole somewhere. But really, the self-employed do need to be considered about this. Stuart, Andy, can we put a registry of all the COVID deniers and anti-vaxxers and send their information to the NHS to put on their health records? People who are anti-vaxxers and COVID deniers are endangering the population with their silly theories that they've heard on Facebook. Let them come forward. Let them stand by their beliefs, says Stuart. Regarding government financial assistance, Andy, the government have allowed the big construction companies to operate a system where all workers are self-employed, despite this being a law that they must be employed on any government-funded work. Now, if these companies ensure that all workers were employed, then it would be down to the big contractors to pay their staff instead of the shareholders. Now, the rest of us taxpayers are having to foot the MIRA bill. A message in from Mary just said, what's the number for the debt counselling service? Debt counselling service, let me just check, is 686500. The debt counselling service is debt@gov.im, or you can call 686500 if you need any information. If you find yourself in financial difficulty, this is a confidential debt counselling service. It's available during the second lockdown as well. It's run by the OFT, the Office of Fair Trading, and gives you the opportunity to talk to a specialist debt counsellor about any financial concerns. Now, it doesn't mean you've got to be in dire straits, although if you are, you need to call them. It means if you see something coming down the line in a couple of weeks, a month, 2 months' time, and you just want, you know, just to have a bit of information from an expert person. They are qualified debt counsellors who can tell you about what your rights are, what you can and can't ask for, and it's absolutely free of charge. So the debt counselling service is 686500, or you can also go to gov.im and go through the Office of Fair Trading, and the debt counselling service is there. There's also a free booklet which is available if you want to contact the debt counselling service, but that's available online. But if you want the booklet, it's 686500, and they'll tell you all about it. Millions of texts coming in today about self-employed people. We got Hazel, first of all, with us. Hello, Hazel.
Yes, hello.
Hello, Hazel. You're live on the air.
Oh, yes. OK, Andy. Are you Andy?
I am, and you're Hazel.
Yes. I'm a bit concerned because the Markwell House isn't open at all, not even a few hours per day. And I know several people that don't have telephones, and even they haven't got the money to ring up and be put on hold or whatever to talk to people in Markwell House to get help to see what benefits they can get. And they've got no money, and I'm concerned about them.
You say what? They've got no telephone?
Yeah, no telephone. Several people I know haven't got a telephone. I had to help one myself yesterday use my telephone in my house to try and talk to the lady in Markwell House.
Right.
Why is it in Scotland they're open? They're open in Scotland, and I think there's more virus in Scotland there is on the Isle of Man.
That's right. I think the ground floor of Markwell House has closed and Ramsey Town Hall's closed as well.
Yeah, the post offices can open. I don't see why they can't help the people a few hours every day. I don't understand that. I wish somebody would help me there.
What did they say when you spoke? Did you speak to them at Markwell House?
The girl just said that's not really up to her. She's only an employee. Which I agree, she's only an employee. She couldn't help me. She just said I would have to talk to someone else.
And these people that you're helping, what state are they in?
Well, one of them was nearly broke. I got forms and filled in for him. And I helped him, but that was a month ago I'd got a form for him. But I'm talking about since the second shutdown. There's been a couple of young people I've been told about that my daughter has told me about, and they don't know how to go about what to, money to get, what support. But if they could walk in and talk to someone behind the counter, they would know a lot more than they do at the moment.
Okay, Hazel, we'll pursue that. Thanks for calling us today with that information. I want to go to Julie now. Hello, Julie.
Hi. Sorry, I should have phoned earlier. I've just been trying to download Microsoft Teams. I just wanted to quickly say a couple of things about the vaccine rollout program that's going on at the moment.
Okay.
And why it's centralised in Douglas and not out about in the community. I had the vaccine a couple of days ago and I read the leaflet that came with it. When the vaccine is defrosted, it only lasts for 6 hours and then it has to be ditched. So if it's in a central place, then more people can get through that central place than if they have to defrost it from one place and then transport it to somewhere else. In addition to that, after you've had the vaccine, you also then have to sit 2 metres apart from everybody else. So we're talking a small quantity of people at the same time in one place and then have to stay for, 15 minutes afterwards before they can then leave the premises. So unless you've got somewhere like a school, there would not be anywhere big enough that they would be able to do it.
Okay.
You couldn't do it in Ramsey Cottage Hospital.
All right. Thanks for that.
No
good
problem.
To talk to you, Julie. Thanks for that information. Good to talk to you. That we got that in just before time. Thanks to producer Barry Redfern. Back tomorrow.